In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. We again hear more from the videos about the butchers that are killing children and then using their parts. This is evil. This is evil. This is evil. This is evil. Father, close Planned Parenthood in the name of Jesus. Close it in the name of Jesus. You see, if they can kill a child, they'll lie and then they'll sell the body parts. I'm telling you that this is evil. They are butchers. They are butchers. And we pray for our friends that are out in front of the abortion mills today, that God would spare the women and the children and cause there to be new life. I'm looking at Luke 9, and then I'm going to go from Luke 9, 1 to 6. I'm going to skip 2, 3, 4, and 5. Then Jesus called his 12, these are the disciples or the apostles, together, and gave them power and authority over all the devils to cure diseases, okay? Remember what Jesus said he came to do, to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to bring deliverance to captives, sight to the blind, and liberty to them that are bruised. So the apostles are going to do the same thing as Jesus did. That they have power and authority over the devils, and they can cure diseases. And then it says, and they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Again, preaching the gospel to the poor, healing the brokenhearted, delivering captives, sight to the blind, and liberty to them who were bruised. So that's what they went to do. And they did it. And they did it with effectiveness. And Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him. No, I'm not doing that. And the apostles, when they were returned, told Jesus all that they had done. They're very excited. The eyes of people were opened. The women received their children that were sick. Now they're healthy. They came and told Jesus all that they had done. And he took them and went aside into a desert place belonging to the city of Bethsaida. In other words, they come to rest. Let's not only tell us what you've done, but let's now go and rest. And the people, when they knew it, followed Jesus and received them and spoke unto them of the kingdom of God. So the people find Jesus in this deserted place, and he speaks to them of the kingdom of God, and he heals them if they had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and country round about, and lodge and get food, for we are here in a desert place, in a deserted place, in an empty place. But Jesus said to them, you give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. I'm telling you, mothers and fathers need to give their children something to eat from the Word of God, because they're not getting it in the schools. They're not getting it many times when people preach. You've got to give them something to eat. You've got to tell them of Jesus. You've got to tell them of his lovely death and his burial and resurrection. You have to tell them about Jesus, because the house is the first church. And you know, we cannot depend upon anybody else. We need to tell people about Jesus, especially our children. Give them something to eat. And the preachers need to hear this scripture too. Give them something to eat, to munch upon. Give them something to eat, not only food, but the bread of life, which is the Word of God. You give them something to eat. And And he said to them, give them something to eat. And they said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fish, except we should go and buy meat for all these people. We can't afford it. And there were 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children. The same as St. John's Gospel. And he said to his disciples, make them sit down in 50s in a company. In other words, this is a little different. And they did so, and made them all sit down. And when he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them, and broke them, and gave them to his disciples to set before the multitude. They all did eat, and were filled, and they were taken up the fragments, and there were 12 wicker baskets that they filled. Now I want to look at Luke versus John. Luke tells us of the multiplication of the fish and the loaves. But for John, the multiplication of the fish and the loaves is but the shadow of the reality. Because in John, he's going to say, I am the bread of life. The shadow is the experience of the multiplication of the bread and fish. The reality is Jesus is the bread of life. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Remember what Jesus said in John's Gospel, that they ate the bread, but they didn't acknowledge the sign. Who was the sign? Jesus himself. Oh yes, Jesus himself. They forgot when what had happened, because they said, give us a sign. You know, they already got the sign. Our fathers ate manna, what is it, in the desert? Yes, Jesus said, my father gives you the bread from heaven. I am the bread come down from heaven. That is the reality. The bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. He gives us that bread at the Eucharist, and he also gives us that bread at the Word of God. You give them something to eat. It is so important that we give people something to eat, because people are starving for the Word of God. We cannot think that everyone has heard the Word of God. I am sure that that is not true, that we must do what Jesus told us to do, to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to bring deliverance to the captives, to give sight to the blind, and liberty to them that are bruised. We must do exactly what Jesus told us to do, and the disciples, he told the disciples what to do. And it came to pass as he was alone praying, and we see Luke's gospel tells us Jesus is praying. He's praying at the baptism. He's going to be praying at the transfiguration, and he's praying now. His disciples were with him, and he asked them, who do people say that I am? And they answered and said, some say John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others say one of the old prophets that has been risen again. And he said unto them, but whom say you that I am? Who do you say that I am? Peter answered, thou art the Christ of God. Thou art the Messiah of God. And we hear in Matthew's Gospel, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And I say to you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Not only the rock of the profession, but the rock of Peter. And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing. What thing? That he was the Messiah. Why? Because they are expecting a political Messiah, and what they are going to get is a suffering servant who goes to the cross out of love for us and who rises from the dead. We're going to see the passion of Jesus that's going to open the gates of heaven for believers. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be slain and be raised on the third day. But Peter in another gospel says, this cannot happen to you, Jesus. Jesus says to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Your plans are not the plans of God. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake the same shall save it. Who has your life today? Who is in control of your life today? Is Jesus in control of your life today? Or are you in control of your life today? We need to give our lives to Jesus, our days to Jesus, our weeks to Jesus, our months to Jesus, our years to Jesus. We need to say, Jesus, you can have everything. I give it all to you. I want to live for you, Jesus. Yes. And we have to take up our cross daily. And the cross is very interesting. The cross is not something that we have called sickness. We see Jesus healing the sickness. The cross is rejection by the people and being called names because we believe in the Lord. It's rejection and it's persecution. That is the cross. But whoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. And what man has an advantage if he gains the whole world and loses himself and be cast away? In other words, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and then go to hell? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed. Are you ashamed of Jesus? Are you ashamed of his words? Oh yes, we need to be able to proclaim to people about Jesus in the marketplace. Yes, give them something to eat. In restaurants, we have prayed with people in restaurants so many times. Not only at the altar, we are there at the altar proclaiming the word of God from the sanctuary. That is wonderful. But we need not to be ashamed of Jesus, and we need to bring him out into the world and let people know who this Jesus is. I told you the story many times in the past, about my friend Betty Foley, who was a perfect lady, and she was a nurse, and she, on one Good Friday, woke up and read the scriptures and said, I don't want to be like Judas who denied you. And who, like Peter who denied you, and like Judas who gave you up. Give me a chance to witness to you today. I don't think she said that. But she's in the train going to Boston, maybe going to Arch Street. I don't know where she was going, but there was a young man stands up and says, Jesus Christ is Lord. He gave his life for us. And then he looked at the woman and said, my friend Betty, what do you say about Jesus? And she stands up and she says, Jesus Christ is Lord. And the door opened and she left. I'm telling you, she was a very sedate woman, but she had prayed that morning that she wouldn't be like Peter and she wouldn't be like Judas. And the Lord gave her a chance to show that she's not like Peter and not like Judas. But I tell you the truth, there are some standing here that shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. Now, the next thing is the transfiguration. I'm telling you, this is all about the kingdom of God, where Jesus will be enthroned as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and that everyone will worship Jesus and worship the Father and worship in the Holy Spirit. And it came to pass about 8 days where they were from Caesarea Philippi. After these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain. What's he going to do in Luke's gospel? To pray. Luke shows Jesus praying. He goes to pray. Have you prayed today? If you haven't, please make time. Please make time. That's all. I want to encourage you to make time to pray. Why? Because we need to live by God's word, and we need to live in the presence of the Lord. And as Jesus prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. His face became white, like the sun shining, and his clothes were as white as any bleacher could make them, and they were glistening. And behold, there spoke with him two men, Moses and Elijah. Why Moses and why Elijah? Moses refers to the prophets, and Moses refers to the Word of God, the Ten Commandments, and Elijah, prophets. He is king over Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure that he would accomplish in Jerusalem. What is the departure? That he is going to die. That he is going to die for the sins of the world, your sins and my sins. And Peter, and they were with him, were heavy in sleep. And when they were awoke, they saw the glory of Jesus and the two men standing with Jesus. Who are the two men? Moses and Elijah. Law and the prophets, yes. Moses the law, Elijah the prophets, and Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Moses and Elijah, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tents, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Not knowing what he was saying, he was scared stiff. When did this take place? It's during the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. How do I know that? Because Peter wants to make three tents, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for Jesus. And when he thus spoke, there came a cloud. This is the cloud of glory that overshadowed them. And they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. In another place, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone, and they kept it close and told no man in those days of the things that they had seen. So this experience of the transfiguration really gives Jesus the blessing of who he is. Remember, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. But this experience of the transfiguration, this is who Jesus is in glory. And what's going to happen after his death and resurrection, he's going to be in glory. It's like tasting who Jesus is. Remember, he gave up all what it was to be God. He said he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being humble still, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. You see, this is wonderful, this transfiguration. It tells Jesus that he's going to go into Jerusalem and suffer and die. He knew that, but now it's getting closer, and God the Father fills him with the light of glory, the glory that he had from the foundation of the world. And it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the mountain, many people met him. What are they looking for? They're looking for him to bring deliverance to the captives, to bring healing to the sick. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech you, look upon my son, for he is my only child. And lo, a spirit, an evil spirit, takes him, and he suddenly cries out, and it tears him, and he foams at the mouth, he bruises him, and it never departs from him. And I besought your disciples to cast him out, but they could not. They could not cast out the demon from this possessed young child. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring your son to me. And as he was yet coming, the devil threw him down and tore him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and gave him again to his father. Why couldn't the disciples do it? They didn't have the power. They had the power, but they were not confident that they could do it. They're going to depend upon Jesus. Well, Jesus calls them, O you of little faith. Remember, Jesus took the 12 together and gave them power and authority over devils and to cure diseases. And they were given that power, but they couldn't use it because I guess they were scared. I don't know if you've ever seen anyone that has showing that they have demons. You know, it's not the nicest thing to behold. I'll never forget when I was in Medjugorje, there was a woman who had demons, and this priest was trying to deliver her. And it was very interesting because he called on the Virgin Mary, and she called the Virgin Mary the worst names that I've ever heard in my life. The demon called the demons hate Mary. The demons hate Mary. Why? Because she is the woman who puts her foot on the devil. She is the woman who brings forth the Word of God made flesh. The devil hates Mary. I know that to be true. Mary has the devil under her feet. She is the woman of Revelation 12 with 12 stars around her head. Let's continue. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered every one of the things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, Let these things sink into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. Again, he tells of his departure. He tells of his cross. He tells of his passion. But they understood not this saying, and it was hidden from them, that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him what he meant by this saying. They were scared stiff to ask him, like the Son of Man going to be rejected by the elders and by the scribes, and he's going to be crucified. They were scared stiff to ask him. Yeah, they still think that Jesus is going to stay there with them, and he's going to bring the kingdom about, and they're going to be the princes of the kingdom. That's not what Jesus did. Jesus came as the suffering servant who dies on the cross, whose passion opens the gates of heaven for God's people who believe in him. This was hidden from their eyes, and they were scared. Then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be the greatest. You see what I'm saying? Why did Jesus have to die? Because here we have the apostles and the disciples saying, Who is the greatest one among us? In other words, they missed the whole boat. Jesus talked about service, that they would preach the gospel, that they would heal the brokenhearted, that they would deliver captives, that they would bring sight to the blind, that they would help those who were bruised. Now they're fighting about who is going to be first in the kingdom of God. This is not what Jesus taught them. He said, the first is last, and the last is first. You must become last if you want to be anything. This is so important because they still didn't get it. The disciples saw the glory of God and they didn't get it. They're still thinking of an earthly kingdom. They're not thinking of what Jesus has come for, that through his passion, death, and resurrection, he opens for us the gates of heaven to those who believe. This is so important that at this point, the disciples still are in the dark. They don't want to see either, because, you know, they might have to deal with the reality that Jesus is going to be what? Crucified, rejected, and what's going to happen to them when Jesus is gone? See, they didn't know. Even though he said the Son of Man will rise, that was kept from their understanding. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I really need to hear from people to pay July's bills, which are $26,000. Please help as you can. Father Tom, inseason.net will take you to place on the internet, and you can leave a donation for PayPal, or you can write Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Remember in John's Gospel that the whole experience of the multiplication of the bread and the fish was the prelude of what would happen, that Jesus would declare himself as the bread of life. And unless you eat this bread and eat this flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Now Jesus was talking about himself, that he would give himself to us at the Last Supper. John didn't want to write about the Last Supper because the Last Supper had been written about. He wanted to talk about what Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.